In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Tuesday, September 21st, 2010, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In hour number two, we will take a look at contracting in the Army. They are trying to rebuild their contracting workforce, and we will take a detailed look at how the Army is planning to do that with three officials who are responsible for recruiting and developing a contracting workforce that is much more robust than the Army has had in the past. Federal News Radio's Max Kakis on site for that, and we'll hear from him in his report available at federalnewsradio.com how the Army is going to do it. We'll also hear from the Army officials involved with it. That's the second hour of the program today on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in hour number one, it's our ongoing series called Pentagon Solutions. The first and the third Tuesdays of every month at 1 p.m., I welcome people who are experts in the world of the Pentagon to talk about issues that the Pentagon is dealing with. And of course, over the last several weeks, actually since May, when Defense Secretary Robert Gates announced in Kansas that he was reshaping the way the Pentagon does business, that reformation effort has been top of mind for people. And one of the people who is thinking about it and writing about it is the former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, John Young. And Mr. Young, it's a pleasure to have you here in the studio. Thanks for coming in today to help us find some Pentagon solutions.
Francis, thank you very much for the chance to join you.
You are writing about some of these issues in the Federal Times, and before we get into what you're writing, tell us what you've been doing since you've left the Pentagon. I'm sure there are a lot of folks who would like to know what you're doing these days.
Well, I appreciate that opportunity. Now and then I miss being in the Pentagon. There's a great team there to work with, and every day you could make a big difference for the taxpayer and the warfighter, but on the outside you still have a chance to make some of those difference. I've done that by staying current in technology. I've worked some with Georgia Tech, where I went to school, and I'm on a board at the Stanford Research Institute, or SRI. And then I've been fortunate to have companies come to me seeking advice on both program management as well as one of the popular topics here of navigating the Pentagon. So I'm doing a variety of things on my own. It gives me a little freedom to spend more time with my family than I did.
I don't know if you are, you mentioned Georgia Tech, I don't know if you're a football fan or not, but perhaps we can talk about the merits of the triple option offense later, but being that you're also an ex-Navy man and Navy coach Paul Johnson down at Georgia Tech, but we can save that for the end, I suppose.
That was one of the tough things is when Georgia Tech borrowed or recruited him from Navy, a lot of people in the Pentagon, particularly in Navy uniforms, weren't that happy because he did a great job at Navy, as you know.
He did a great job, and I have the benefit of hearing the Navy football games on this station, where the D.C. outlet for the Navy games. And his replacement, the coach at Navy now, has done also a great job, and Ricky Dobbs looks good, and I could talk for the whole hour about about college football, but we won't today. I do want to ask you why you chose the issue of multi-year procurements as the focus. Why is this so near and dear to your heart?
Well, this is one of the first pieces I've written since I left the Pentagon, and I've been strongly in favor of this issue from my time working as a staffer on Capitol Hill. I had leaders that helped me see the benefits of it and were supporters themselves. Senator Inouye and Senator Stevens were always strong fans of multi-year procurement, and that gave me the opportunity to understand the intricacies of it. And I believe there are just multiple benefits. There are obviously the surface benefits, that some of which you've mentioned and are visible in the article I wrote. And there's some additional benefits we may get to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Currently, DOD must request legislation on a program-by-program basis and obtain congressional approval to enter into a multi-year procurement contract, or an MYP. Supporters say this requirement preserves Congress's annual power over DOD's budget and ensures long-term spending flexibility. But I imagine there are detractors who have a different view of that.
Yeah, I think it does have those benefits, and I think there's some legitimacy you would like to not have the entirety of the procurement budget locked up in multi-year procurement, so that neither the Pentagon nor the Congress had some flexibility to adapt to changing world circumstances. But we're well past that. I mean, there's no risk of that right now. But the potential for that in the past, where there were large ship programs buying, you know, in the great days, half a dozen ships a year, a couple hundred F-16s a year and other things, those kind of big programs could tie up a lot of the budget. Today, we buy at lesser quantities, and the freedom to buy is now more important, to buy in a multi-year is more important to the department because it helps the industrial base be stable. It helps the department save money and several of the things articulated. But I think the past experiences and the past prerogatives of the Congress led them to want to approve each of those programs in law, which is a major process in itself to ask for the legislation and get four committees approved, whereas I really think this should be a buying tool that's more available to the department on a regular basis so they can do the best thing for the taxpayer and the warfighter.
What would be the best way, do you think, for that to be established? Should it be codified into law that the Pentagon can do it, or is it some kind of a policy directive that can come from someplace else? How should that look?
You know, we actually had there is some limited authority for short term, and we did on an Army, you mentioned you're going to have an Army discussion later, in the early stage of the lightweight 155 howitzer program, we did a two-year multi-year because that period didn't require formal congressional approval and the dollar threshold was low enough, and we saved a lot of money that way. And one of those issues were some of the ways we save money that we didn't fully anticipate was there was currency fluctuations. Some of that content was European, and because of exchange rate issues, that alone was going to cost us money.
Mm-hmm.
But with that an example, I mean, I would say there are things we could do if we had more authority to do something short of 5 years, as long as we could present the Congress with a good business case, or some dollar threshold where at a very high threshold that might be associated with Joint Strike Fighter or Virginia-class submarines, mm-hmm. the Congress needs to be involved. But for some lesser programs, as a department supported by a business case, could have the authority to sign multi-year contracts and get best value for the taxpayer, I think that'd be really helpful mm-hmm. instead of the need for virtually every program these days to go through the legislative process and have specific legislation.
My guest is John Young, the former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, on In Depth with Francis Rose, our series called Pentagon Solutions, and we'll continue in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
If you can't communicate effectively, you can't get the job done. That's why government agencies turn to Avaya Government Solutions and Quest. Unified communication solutions from Avaya and Quest increase employee productivity, improve customer service, and cut costs by integrating multiple forms of communications across multi-vendor networks. Faster, more efficient, at a lower cost. The future of unified communications has arrived. Learn more at avayagov.com/GSA2010.
Without an effective estate plan, your hard-earned wealth will end up in the hands of the government, and a will is no protection. At Zell Law, our estate planning lawyers take the time to listen and understand you and your goals and figure out what you want to achieve. Then we work with you to create a customized estate plan that helps you and your family realize your dreams of wealth and freedom. Find out how we do this by joining me, Wayne Zell, Saturdays at 10 a.m. for Blueprint for Wealth on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to dell.com/deliver now.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. World leaders meeting at the United Nations. How is diplomacy changing? We're going to tell you about the world of 21st century statescraft and government performance. A number of government management experts getting behind a bill that will require you to set performance goals tied to real-world results. We'll tell you more this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is John Young, formerly of the Pentagon, and we're talking about reforming the business process at the Department of Defense in our Pentagon Solutions series. And Mr. Young's author of a piece in the Federal Times this week that is titled Multi-Year Procurements Should Be in Acquisition Reform Talks. So far, not much discussion about this. As you point out in your piece, it's not it's any of the things that we've heard a lot of from Secretary Gates or from Undersecretary Carter, your successor. But this is you tell a story in here about some aircraft that you bought when you were with the Navy that I think gets your point across very eloquently. Tell us that episode.
Yeah, the great thing is when I was in the Pentagon, I felt pretty empowered to run the business by Secretary England, and I had a great relationship with Admiral Clark, the CNO. And Admiral Clark invited me to a lot of his budget sessions, which was a little unusual because there is the military side that builds and then comes to the political side. And so, but through that process, you know, I saw the T-45 program and I had to sign a justification analysis, a JNA, as they say, that would let you sole source because you had no choice but to sole source. This was the end of the production line, but do so in, you know, single-digit quantities of airplanes. You know, the budget was fluctuating, but it was there was a desire to buy like five or and then eight and then four and finish out the production line. And at those rates, the planes were like close to $30 million a piece.
Mm-hmm.
In some years, they were bought at 12 to 15 airplanes a year, could have been produced on the production line as at 18 or even 24. Even at 12 to 15, the planes would be more like $20 million a copy. And so I wrote an initial memo to Admiral Clark and Secretary England and said, you know, this is one of the things that makes the acquisition team look bad, where the planes are more expensive than they need to be, but it's because the budget won't make hard choices and decide to buy efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And so progress was made. In FY07, I think at least one draft of the budget tried to put 12 in that year and finished buying out the program efficiently. But I took the next step and asked my team to look at it. And, you know, these are big dollar issues. We bought 223 airplanes, the original requirement. That in and of itself is a good piece of news. So mm-hmm. The Navy did a good job of estimating that. But we paid $4.3 billion for those airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
If we had bought them efficiently and made the budget make some of those tougher choices, we could have bought those airplanes for $3.7 billion, saved $632 million, and as interestingly, gotten all the airplanes by 2003 instead of 2007. The problem, one of the challenges is this, there is no voice in the Pentagon that says it is goodness or speaks strongly for the goodness of buying a program earlier so you can retire the old assets that are costly to maintain.
Yeah.
And take that $630 million that would have been available along the way and then in 2003 to 2007 and buy more capability for the warfighter.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just accepts that this is an annual process and you buy what you can and you wish you could do better. But sooner or later, we need to pull out some of these business cases and let them drive us to the fact that we can buy more for the warfighter, and multi-year procurements are certainly one of the tools to do that.
Mm-hmm. I guess until some of these things are quantified, as you've done here, it's hard conceptually for a lot of folks to wrap their heads around some of these concepts.
Yep.
in the abstract. But $632 million, especially at a time where Secretary Gates and Undersecretary Carter are talking about we want to shift these resources to the warfighter. This is it right here, airplanes for warfighters, faster and cheaper.
Well, and there's no doubt in my mind, Secretary Gates understands this very well. You know, as I was in the back end of my tenure, I exchanged a lot of paper with him because he wanted to focus time and attention on the acquisition business, and he did. And that gave me a great chance to talk to him about this very example has been presented to him, and it led him in both the 2009 and 2010 budget to give my acquisition team a chance to bring to him, we didn't call it multi-year, but we called it economic order quantity buys,
mm-hmm.
and show him some opportunities to buy more efficiently and save that money that can be reallocated to something else. And he supported those. And you need to make money move sometimes in the budget, and in the end game, you need Secretary Gates' support. So
mm-hmm.
we implemented, especially in some places where he saw need, like helicopters, which were in extreme demand in Afghanistan and high demand in Iraq, we implemented some economic order quantity adjustments in the budget to help the helicopters be bought both sooner and cheaper, mm-hmm. more efficiently.
Yeah. It sounds like there are some mechanisms in place in a case like that where you can do this on your own, but you just don't have the full measure of flexibility that you need. And when we come back from the, we have to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we'd be interested to hear you flesh out some more how that flexibility would look.
Absolutely.
Once you had it. Just before we go to break, were you surprised when Secretary Gates made his speech back in May? Or was this something that has been in the works for a period of time?
No, I was actually encouraged. And I think I even wrote a member of his staff and said at least a few of those ideas that he and I discussed seem to be showing up in the language. And I know the Secretary is absorbing from a lot of sources and trying to make a real difference in the Pentagon.
It must be gratifying to see something like that and feel that you had some piece of it. John Young is my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're talking about changing the way the Pentagon does business. And Mr. Young, of course, the former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, my guest for Pentagon Solutions, bi-monthly, is that right? Twice a month we do it, the first and third Tuesday of every month at 1 p.m. to try to dig up some solutions to some of the challenges that the Pentagon in particular is facing on In Depth with Francis Rose. In hour number two of our program today, you'll hear from Jeff Parsons, Executive Director of the Army Contracting Command, talking at the Pentagon about beefing up the contracting workforce, and that's another issue we'll take up later on in the hour with Mr. Young when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are lower. The Dow's down 17 points. The Nasdaq lower by 8. In just about an hour from now, we'll get the results from the central bank's policy-setting meeting. Traders are waiting to hear if the Fed will be restarting programs like buying treasuries and mortgage bonds to keep borrowing costs low. Home construction and applications rose more than expected last month, but the gains were mostly from condo construction rather than larger single-family homes. Turner Sports has won the digital rights to the NCAA's championship website. Earlier in the year, Turner and CBS won a 14-year, $10.8 billion deal to broadcast the NCAA men's basketball tournament. The Air Transport Association says that after several difficult years, the global airline industry is making a big turnaround to the tune of an estimated $8 billion in 2010. Chris Maurer, CNBC, Business Radio.
Why do we rely on just investing when there's another way? A way to measure success over a lifetime, not just a single day. Where you don't chase what's hot, you do what's right. And where there's one rule. The golden rule. We call it vanguarding. Vanguarding is a behavior, a philosophy, a call to action. So ask yourself, are you just investing or are you vanguarding? Learn more at vanguard.com or call us at 888-VANGUARD. All investments are subject to risk.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Would helium make opera sound less formal and stuffy?
Quella parrucca, presto la barba.
Tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono, donna, ragazzi, vecchio fanciulli, qua la sanguigna presso biglietto. Figaro!
Be like the 4 million who switched to Geico last year, and you too could start saving money. To get a free rate quote, visit geico.com, then buy online, over the phone.
Inside Cybersecurity, brought to you by CA Technologies.
New tools can help you protect your network from the threat within. Khalid Kark of Forrester Research says there is a set of tools that can record all of the network sessions, and that allows cyber sleuths to replay those sessions and find out where any breaches or intrusions are coming from in-house. There are also data leak prevention tools you can use that'll block information from leaving your network at all. I'm Amy Morris.
How do you keep your infrastructure safe without limiting your people and limiting your productivity? CA Technologies lets you control every use of every IT asset by everyone who accesses your system. Can you say yes to new capabilities? Can you enforce defense in detail, not just defense in depth? Can you empower your people while protecting your systems? With CA Technologies, you can. To learn how, visit ca.com/gov/value.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half Price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy Half Price gift certificates to Cafe Italia in Crystal City. Authentic Italian dishes and great family ambiance. Awarded Best Neighborhood Restaurant.
Ted Gibson and Hala Spa in Chevy Chase in Georgetown. A team of celebrity stylists that make clients feel beautiful, refreshed, and rejuvenated. And Empire Auto Detailers. Get your car detailed on site. The Empire Way.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
And it is gone. Another three-run homer for Adam Dunn.
And the Nationals win on a walk-off single by Rodriguez.
Swung at a line drive. Diving stop by Sermon. Throws to second for one. Now to first, a double play.
Turn your double play today. Buy two new 2011 season tickets and get two season tickets plus the remainder of this season for free. Go to nationals.com/2011 or call 202-675-NATS for details. Select locations. Some restrictions apply.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Have you ever tried to figure out how much money you're going to need when you retire? It's not as easy as it sounds. The Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board says no calculator can be completely accurate, and it isn't possible to calculate what your investments will be worth because there are so many variables. TSP officials say their calculators are designed to show you what you can potentially acquire over your career with the federal government. I'm Amy Morris.
Are you getting the most value from your life insurance premium? Probably not. Therefore, take a moment to check out WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943 that enables federal employees to purchase better life insurance at far better prices. WEPA also has a premium refund policy that has returned over $52 million in refunds to its policyholders since 1996. Visit WAEPA.org to learn how you can reduce your premiums and become eligible for future refunds. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
You run the kids to the bus in the morning, run errands in the afternoon, run out for dinner, then run to music lessons. Let's face it, your schedule has your family running wild. It's time for some healthy running. The Marine Corps Marathon invites you to register your 6 to 13-year-old for the Healthy Kids Fun Run on Saturday, October 30th at the Pentagon. It's a one-mile, confidence-building fun run where every participant proudly walks away with a medal. The fun includes a family fitness festival, mascots, entertainment, and more. Visit MarineMarathon.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's Pentagon Solutions, the first and third Tuesday of every month at 1 o'clock. And my guest on Pentagon Solutions today is John Young. He's Vice President of Business Development for E6 Partners and the former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, among other stops in a distinguished public service career. It's great to have you in the studio, John. I enjoy talking about these kinds of things. Your piece in the Federal Times references the T-45 aircraft story, which you told us, and you write right after telling that story about the chain of command, not at the Pentagon, but in Congress. Once you have determined what, for example, as you did with the T-45s, you've got to then take it to the Hill, and you've got four stops to make up there to try to get something through.
All right. I think that's one of the challenges, you know, even bigger than multi-year these days is, when I was the Navy acquisition executive, there was a Navy programmer, a Navy comptroller, and then a political. And then there's, at OSD, there's a comptroller and a programmer. And this means something in the government business. But basically, it's three people that help build the budget,
mm-hmm.
whereas most businesses would use one. And then you go to four committees that review and make decisions on that budget. So you can guess in today's environment, the program manager that wants to use a multi-year, wants to buy economic order quantity, or just frankly wants to run his program efficiently, ends up spending a huge amount of time briefing each of these stops. So he builds a budget, as I noted, like 18 months before he ever gets the checks for that money to go execute the program. And along that way, he briefs four committees, frequently sometimes subcommittees, who are cross-jurisdiction between procurement and R&D,
mm-hmm.
and then all those, the two or three parties that have a voice in his service, and then at the Office of Secretary of Defense. And we've gone to spending too much time, I think, defending the budget and briefing parties and having multiple briefings, because then those programmers and comptrollers and even the Hill will say, well, what if you lost a piece of money here? How would that affect your program? So then there, it's not just one briefing. It's drills that say, what if we trim this? What if we trim that? How does the cost grow? How does the cost change? Mm-hmm. What if we buy five more airplanes, five fewer airplanes, but it's usually five fewer? And I worry that program managers don't have the kind of time they did in years past when the process was not so intensive in defending the budget. I mean, the procurement and R&D programs are some of the most scrutinized parts of the budget, and our program managers are living that, and they're easily spending a third of their time solely building and defending and doing drills on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And if they got some of that time back to manage their programs, I think programs, you and the warfighter and the taxpayer would be happier with those programs.
How do you balance that need, though, which is perfectly understandable, with the desire and by the letter of the Constitution, the need for Congress to really determine where the money's going, since they hold the power of the purse? Where's the balance, do you think, between reasonable oversight and reasonable answer provision on the part of the Pentagon and taking it too far?
Yeah, well, and I don't want to single out the Congress here. You know, I'm not so sure. At least a half of that third is consumed by the churnings and machinations in the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure we have to have both a programmer, a comptroller, and then the political comptroller go through the program manager's budget, and then OSD do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of these things ground themselves in what I'm talking about in one of the points in the article, and that is if everybody can go through this once and agree on an economic order quantity buy or even better, a multi-year contract, then that budget should stay stable for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And people can get, you know, overview briefings that let them know everything's on track, but the program manager won't spend that block of time every year defending an annual budget. And oh, by the way, becoming at risk, because in these annual budget processes, we all know that healthcare costs go up, material prices, raw material prices go up, and so the program manager gets a little bit of protection from those constant another time demand and another price risk, where he's got to negotiate annually with industry, which passes along his costs. That's one of the beauties, and is less mentioned in the article because of the length constraint. But when you get a multi-year contract, you can frequently get a very good price. It gives you some leverage to get a good price with industry, and then the program industry can go manage itself.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have increases in material costs, they can go try to work with their suppliers to mitigate that or find other efficiencies in the program. But they're on the hook to go run their business, which is something they have to do. Government can't run these businesses. I'm worried about some of the trends that make it sound like the government can run industry for industry, which is not realistic.
It seems to me kind of logical that if you approached a company and said, we're not going to necessarily pay you for all 223 airplanes up front, but over the course of the next X number of years, we know this is codified, this is booked for
right.
you.
Right.
You're going to be able to do this if you can cut us a little bit of a deal on that. Right. That seems to make sense.
And sometimes all of these converge. Like, I must admit to you, I wasn't perfectly comfortable with the Virginia class situation as I found it. Congress had mandated that there must be 2 yards building Virginia submarines, and we were buying submarines at one a year. So each yard delivered a submarine every other year.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both know that means there are a lot of workers that do their part of that submarine 1 year, and they're probably not as busy as they should be the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Industry can best deal with that situation with at least a multi-year contract and stability. And so we worked very hard, even before the first Virginia submarine was tested and delivered, which in and of itself is, you know, a hot button issue and tough, but I got to give great credit to the committees in Congress. They heard me out. They understood the industrial stability issue of this, of Virginia and building one submarine alternating between 2 yards. And they were willing to listen to the possibility that we could get pricing advantage. And frankly, I went into this and was ready to work very hard with the Hill, which we did successfully, just to get the industrial stability piece. But it proved that we got the other piece, and that is we got some leverage in a program where, you know, there are only 2 people that build the submarines, but at least we had the leverage of offering, holding out the carrot of that multi-year contract. We got very good prices. I could show you on the learning curve, we got prices below where they thought they were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
They accepted that as a challenge. And to their great credit, they went and managed their businesses and delivered on that challenge. They made sure that they didn't lose money on the program. And wonderful for the taxpayer and the warfighter, we got submarines at the prices we signed for. And another important part about multi-years, if you get great prices in the first multi-year, that sets the pricing curve for the next multi-year, and you can stay on that glide slope of getting better prices for the taxpayer.
John Young is the former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, my guest for the hour on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. More of Pentagon Solutions with John Young when In Depth continues.
How do you keep your infrastructure safe without limiting your people and productivity? CA Technologies let you control every use of every IT asset by everyone who accesses your systems. Can you say yes to new capabilities? Can you enforce defense in detail, not just defense in depth? Can you empower your people while protecting your systems? With CA Technologies, you can. To learn how, visit ca.com/security.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Tune into the Federal CFO Insights program on September 22nd at 1 p.m. as we turn the tables and interview former program host Clarence Crawford, former federal CFO and current director with Deloitte Consulting, LLP. Mr. Crawford will discuss the changing role and road ahead for federal CFOs with new program host and former radio personality Jane Norris. Don't miss Deloitte's Federal CFO Insights program on Wednesday, September 22nd at 1 p.m. only on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
As government and commercial companies continue to improve their business processes, they're finding that IT requirement analysis, market reviews, product selection, and ongoing operations are taxing the resource base of their employees. TMR is here to help. TMR provides enterprise architecture, governance, and IT operational support to ensure our customers' IT investments are aligned with specific business goals, objectives, and capital investment strategies. For more details, visit TMR at tmrhq.com or call 703-323-1700.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future. Newsmakers on the Dorabeck Insider.
Randy Height, Director of Information Technology Architecture and Systems Issues at GAO. They've updated the Enterprise Architecture Management Maturity Framework.
What it provides are those constructs around those capabilities that need to be in place in order to progress toward the point where you can actually have usable, valuable artifacts that the organization can use and get results from.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Dorabeck. Dorabeck Insider.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today is John Young, who is former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics and now Vice President of Business Development for E6 Partners. And John is my guest for the entire hour. We're talking about multi-year procurements pursuant to a piece that John's written for the Federal Times that we'll link up later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We were talking about some of the major things that the Pentagon buys that are completely different than other agencies buy. I hope that the Pentagon is the only agency that buys aircraft carriers. If somebody else is, then that's a bigger story than anything that I've covered in a while.
If they're getting a good deal, we ought to talk to them.
Well, that's right. Maybe they've got some best practices to share. But a lot of the things that the Pentagon acquires are very similar to what the Pentagon acquires, especially in the services realm. And Secretary Gates has talked a lot about services and the implications there. Does this concept of multi-year procurements apply also in the services area, do you think?
Actually, I think that it can, but the Pentagon's actually done a good job, I think, in some areas of having other tools. Like the Navy had a tool they called Seaport, mm-hmm. and they qualified a broad range of contractors. And then when there was a services job to be done, they could bid that amongst those qualified contractors. So they got competition, but they got a way to very quickly get some work on contract and execute it, as opposed to starting from scratch and going out with an RFP. So there's some pretty good models like that, and usually qualifying on those vehicles is kind of like multi-year. You get on for a period of time, and my biggest push with the Navy was I want to qualify everybody. I never want those vehicles to be exclusive, and because the best benefit of competition is if we're going to have this vehicle, let's put as many people as want to be considered for Navy jobs on the vehicle and get the maximum competition.
Mm-hmm. Every discussion about acquisition, especially when it comes to Pentagon acquisition, the workforce becomes an element of the discussion. And I'd like to bring that idea in here, too. If we start to see more multi-year procurements, as you're suggesting, how will that impact the effectiveness of the workforce? How will it impact the need to develop it and grow it, as the Secretary has talked about and as Ash Carter has talked about? What's the factor there?
I think what you and I and all of us would expect is you really would like the best possible people in the government. And the government has very good people, but through some of the cuts of the 90s that were directed by the Congress at the acquisition workforce, we've lost a few steps. We need to get back some very good people. And some of those, we have some specific needs for some of those skills. Contracting officers who can write effective contracts. And then costing, and not just cost estimating, but the opportunity and the insight to know what items should cost and then have a basis for a Pentagon negotiation with a company is really important. And I think that's important on multiple levels. It's obviously important in the direct level of going out and negotiating the best deal for the taxpayer on a contract. But it's also important to restore the Congress's confidence. The Congress feels like our cost estimating has not been good, and that's one of the sources of cost overruns. That isn't always true. Sometimes the cost estimates have told us things will be more expensive, but the programmers and the budgeteers I've talked about would frequently load it in the budget at a lower number, and there are a lot of arguments for that. If you show a higher budget, industry will go to that number. I don't know that that's true. Or, frankly, just the fact that the Pentagon budget is overprogrammed and everybody wants to buy everything and they're willing to buy it less efficiently and not use multi-year tools and other things means everything's bought somewhat efficiently and every budget's a little short. And then when you're short, things take longer, they cost more, and it becomes a spiral. But the real objective here, I think, would be to do a better job at costing. And that's one of the reasons the Congress, I think, has asked for to see more concrete savings on multi-years. We have to persuade them that we know what it will cost and that it's worth saving 5% against that number. I've seen some analysis, and I think the Congress has been skeptical of them, where people inflate the potential annual cost so they can show that a multi-year will save 10%. We don't need to do that. It's not good for the credibility of the system. We need costers who can present that argument accurately. And if that number is 5%, we ought to go save that for the taxpayer. Because one thing that everybody's got to adjust to is we're not, as you and I talked about in the beginning, in the era of the 50s, 60s, and 70s where items were bought at very high quantities. Today we buy, you know, 30 airplanes on this production line and one submarine a year or two submarines a year and one or two ships a year. Most everything is already running somewhat inefficiently. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of overhead to build one ship a year when you could be building three ships a year. Mm-hmm. So we have to use some tools there, like multi-year, to provide stability and save as much as we can, given that we're already not building efficiently.
John Young's the former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics. My guest for the hour on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. When we come back to wrap up, we'll talk a little bit more about the workforce and building a good core. And hour number two of our program today is where that focus will go. Jeff Parsons, Executive Director of the Army Contracting Command, talking about that same issue, how he's bringing good people into the Army to do the acquisition job there. That's hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose. But more with John Young when we return on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
It's time to get real. Only one of the aerial refueling tankers offered to the U.S. Air Force is flying now and ready for our troops today. It's EADS North America's KC-45. America's warfighters deserve a proven, more capable aircraft that's performing now. and the EADS North America KC-45 will be made in the U.S. by 48,000 Americans. They're ready to get to work, and the Air Force is ready for a real tanker. See it at kc45now.com.
Paid for by EADS North America.
Please join Jim Flasek October 5th at noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month's program will discuss the greening of government initiatives, progress and priorities in the federal government. The panel includes government leaders from GSA and EPA. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, October 5th at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by CA Technologies, Cisco Systems, Autodesk, and DLT Solutions.
The Internet. It's indispensable. Without it, how else would we perform crucial functions like shoe shopping, watching videos of a cat playing the piano, emailing inspirational anecdotes to our 1,000 closest friends? But despite these awesome utilizations of information technology, at Kaiser Permanente, we've found some better uses, like being able to securely manage your own health online 24/7, emailing your doctor's office, checking most test results, reviewing meds, making routine appointments. Not to mention a vital digital connection between you, your doctor, and everyone on your team. Could it be that making total health smarter, more efficient, and more convenient is the very sort of thing for which the internet was intended? Maybe, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't fit in a cat video now and then. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we want you to live well, laugh well, and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
Scientist David Lototsky of Berlin's Free University can turn the steering wheel of his car with just eye movements. He developed software called iDriver, and he's driving it around Berlin just by looking in different directions. iDriver lets you drive the car up to 31 miles an hour. It remains unclear whether this will be commercialized. This is the bad idea of the week.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and my guest for the hour has been John Young, the former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, now a senior fellow and member of the Board of Regents at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies and Vice President of Business Development for E6 Partners, and we'll have more information on that at federalnewsradio.com, as well as his piece in the Federal Times this week, which is headlined, Multi-Year Procurement Should Be in Acquisition Reform Talks. Overall, not just focusing on multi-year procurements or acquisition in general, but overall what Secretary Gates and Undersecretary Carter and to some extent Deputy Secretary Lynn, what they've talked about reshaping business in the Pentagon. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Well, I certainly would give thumbs up to what Secretary Gates been trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had a chance to work with him on the 10 budget, where he put a hard microscope on a lot of programs and made some difficult decisions. And I think OSD has struggled to do that and be the right voice. And he has picked that up very well from multiple dimensions. One, programs that aren't performing, we need to stop. Programs that should be joint, we need to make them joint. And you need that corporate leadership from time to time. So I feel like Secretary Gates has done a great job. It's been a pleasure to work with him. I had chances to work with Bill Lynn back to my days on the Hill. I have a lot of respect for him, and I'm certainly watching the acquisition team. I know there's a great staff there working with Ash Carter. I've seen his recent memo, looked through it. Many of the recommendations are things that we were trying to do. Economic order quantity buys, we did them, as I told you, in 2010 with Secretary Gates' support. It's clear Secretary Gates' support is still there for that because it shows up in the new efficiencies memo.
Mm-hmm.
So there's several just good practices that are showing up because of the good team that's working with Ash and the work that he's doing there.
Just a minute or two left. The parlor game has become, since this initiative has been outlined, will he be able to get it done or won't he be able to get it done, referring to Secretary Gates? Where do you fall there?
I think he's got his comments right. You and I talked about this. This is a change in culture. But the first step in changing the culture is to take some bold steps and lay out some bold initiatives. People are invigorated by that. And so I felt like that was my experience in the Pentagon. When I laid out some bold steps we wanted to do, multi-year procurements, economic order quantity buys, joint analysis teams to get more joint, one person can't do everything. Secretary Gates can't do everything. But there are some great team members there that once they're started with that first bold step, they can carry it through. So it'd be great if Secretary Gates is there for many more months and many more years. But even if not, I think he made a comment like this, and he's right, and it shows his great understanding of the government. He's taken some bold steps that people that believe in what he wants to do and the obviousness of it, they will follow through and achieve those results.
Our time is up, and we didn't even get a chance to talk any more about Navy and Georgia Tech football. So I apologize for that, and I will look forward to having you come back and continue this conversation. This is certainly not an issue that's going away anytime soon.
It's been great. It's been fun, as you said it would be. Thanks very much, Francis.
Thank you for being here, John Young of E6 Partners, former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You can find this and all of our Pentagon Solutions discussions archived at federalnewsradio.com. In hour number two of the program today, we'll look at contracting in the Army. They need people, as all agencies do, and Jeff Parsons, Executive Director of the Army Contract in Command, just one of the officials at the Army, talking about how they're finding the people they need to do the contracting job. That's hour number two coming up.